We're going to begin the Warren County Radio Bible School this morning with a test of your Bible knowledge. I'm going to ask you a Bible question. It comes from John chapter 10. We've been studying the parable Jesus made about the shepherd and the sheep, how the sheep come into the fold, and the porter opens the door to allow the sheep to come in and out, and through that door passes the shepherd. But thieves and robbers, they go in some other way. And they're hirelings. Well, if they're hirelings watching the sheep and some danger comes to them, the hirelings flee. But the good shepherd, he'll stay and fight for those sheep and give his life for those sheep. And so we have a number of things going on in this parable. The sheepfold, the door to the sheepfold, the porter, the shepherd, the sheep, the robbers, the hirelings. Jesus compares himself to two things in this parable. In explaining this, he says, I am, and then he's going to say later, I am, and he's going to say something else. So Jesus plays two roles in this parable of the sheep in John chapter 10. What are those two things? Well, if you know that, then you've got a good sense of Bible teaching and Bible knowledge, and I'm proud of you for that. If you don't, listen up or put it in your mind. What do you think that would be? And then we'll answer that question in just a moment. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. So in the parable that Jesus told about the sheep, who is Jesus in that parable? Well, in John chapter 10 and verse 11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd layeth down his life for his sheep. So Jesus is the shepherd in this parable, but he is something else. Earlier, in John chapter 10 and verse 9, Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and he shall go in and go out and shall find pasture. So, there's the door, and he is the good shepherd. He plays two roles in the parable of the sheep, which he told in John chapter 10. Let me read to you some of Elam's notes about that parable, and these are Sunday school notes that he prepared for the Sunday schools of February the 14th, 1926. And among the things that Elam wrote was this: Jesus came to save the lost, not to destroy, but to save the sheep, that they might have life and have it abundantly. He was sent, Matthew 15:24, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The thief cometh not, but that he might kill and destroy. John chapter 10 and verse 10. This then is a marked difference between the good shepherd and the false teachers. False teachers seek not the good of the sheep, but that which the sheep possesses. They steal the truth from the people. Therefore, behold, I'm against the prophet, saith Jehovah, that steal my words every one from his neighbor, Jeremiah 23 and verse 30. Jesus frequently spoke of the people as scattered like sheep without a shepherd. But then in John 10 and verse 11, Jesus also said, I am the good shepherd. The test of a good shepherd is that he layeth down his life for the sheep. Literal shepherds sometimes actually gave their lives in their encounters with robbers or wild beasts. Jesus laid down his life at the hands of false teachers for the salvation of the race. Every teacher, therefore, who has the spirit of Jesus seeks the good and salvation of man. We read in Philippians 2 and verse 5, "Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Jehovah is also the true shepherd. False teachers and pretenders are hirelings. In Hebrews 13:20, Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep. And in 1 Peter 5 and verse 4, he is the chief shepherd. And in 1 Peter 2 and verse 25, he is the shepherd and bishop of our souls. The following facts gives us some idea of the duties and work of shepherds. Jacob says, "Thus I was in the day the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep fled from mine eyes," Genesis 31:40. In defending his flock and in rescuing the lambs, the youthful David slew a lion and a bear in 1 Samuel 17:34-37. When Jesus was born, the shepherds were in the field keeping watch by night over their flocks. The sheep must have the service and constant attention of the shepherd. The hireling, well, he is a mercenary, seeking his own personal interest, making godliness away again, 1 Peter 6 and verse 5, turning religion into a cloak of covetousness and means of obtaining a livelihood. The hireling seeks not the flock, but the fat and fleece. Hence, he flees when the wolf comes and danger approaches. Paul says to the Corinthians, "For I seek not yours, but you." 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 14. And like Paul, while a true teacher or preacher receives support from those he serves for the sake of souls and will preach. Support or no support, Jesus is the good shepherd. And as the good shepherd, he knows his sheep. He knows them personally, by name, as literal shepherds know their sheep. He knows them tenderly and lovingly. He knows their needs and dangers. He knows their sorrows and bereavements. And they know him, his love and tenderness, his power to protect and save, and even as the Father knows him and he knows the Father, there is that tender bond between the Jesus and Christians which exists between him and the Father. Hence he says, "I lay down my life for the sheep." The other sheep, which are not of this fold, evidently mean the Gentiles who would believe and obey the gospel when they should hear it. Those Gentiles, they would hear his voice, enter through him, enter through the door, enter to the same fold with the Jews, and they shall become one flock and one shepherd. The Gentiles were his sheep prospectively. They had not yet accepted him as their Savior, but he knew they would do so. So God said to Paul at Corinth, "I have much people in this city," Acts 18 and verse 10. God prophetically calls them his people before they had heard and obeyed the gospel. There's only one flock. "For whosoever shall do the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and my sister and my mother," Matthew 12 and verse 50. There is one fold. That means there is one church. There's one door into this one fold. There's one shepherd over this one flock. All must enter through Christ. All must hear his voice, follow him, and receive food from his hand. All who live in disobedience to him are following false shepherds, hirelings, thieves, and robbers. Denominationalism is wrong, and division into contending sects is sinful. Again, Jesus says in John 10 and verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me." Heeding what Christ says in the gospel is hearing his voice. What he says is recorded in the New Testament. he who does not hear that does not hear Christ. Then, since Christ's sheep hear him, they heed what he says in the New Testament. It is encouraging, then, to believe that above the din, clash, and clatter or warring sects, saying, "Lo, here is Christ," or "there," the good shepherd makes his voice heard, and the sheep recognize it, and follow it into the rest and peace and unity in the onefold, the unity of the Spirit, in the bond of peace. Ephesians 4 and verse 3 depends upon unity in Christ. "Even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they all may be one in us." John 17, 21. And unity in Christ depends on hearing his voice, and not upon the authority and the decrees of earthly shepherds. This declaration shows us, too, that Jesus is the Savior of the Jew and Gentile alike. He died for all, and sent his gospel to the whole creation. Jesus says in John 10 and verse 15, "I lay down my life for the sheep." This shows that he is the true and good shepherd, seeking the salvation of the race, and for this cause, as stated in verse 17, the Father loves him. "No man taketh it away from me, but I lay it down of myself," verse 18. Jesus laid down his life, came to earth, suffered and died of his own consent. The wicked plots of the Jews to kill him would have availed nothing had he not consented to die. He existed in the form of God and was on an equality with God, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, humbled himself, and became obedient even unto death, yea, the death of the cross, Philippians 2, verses 6 through 8. He laid down his life on the cross. He took it up again when he rose from the dead. He did this in obedience to God. "This commandment received I from my Father." Now that's the end of that Sunday school lesson. There's a couple of rhymes, or a little rhyme down here at the end, under the name of Dorothy A. Thrupp. And you may have heard these lines in a song if you sing hymns when you worship. "Savior, like a shepherd lead us, much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pasture feed us, for our use thy fold prepare. We are thine, do thou befriend us, be the guardian of our way. Keep thy flock from sin, defend us, seek us when we go astray." I turn the page in my little Sunday school book, and I've come to the Sunday school lesson that E.A. Elam wrote for the Sunday schools of February the 21st, 1926. And this is about the time that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Let me begin reading to you the text. If I don't have time, we'll take it up at the next class. Mary, therefore, when she came to Jesus, now this is John 11, 32 through 44. When she came to Jesus, where Jesus was, and saw him, fell down at his feet, saying unto him, "Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died." When Jesus, therefore, saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping who came to her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said unto him, "Lord, come and see." Well, Jesus wept. And the Jews therefore said, "Behold, how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of him that was blind have caused this man also should not die?" Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and a stone lay by it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, "Lord, by this time the body decayeth, for he had been dead 4 days." Jesus said unto her, "Said I not unto thee, if thou believest, thou shouldest see the glory of God." We'll finish in another class.